Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, we're back with another edition of Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50. And guys, I have been following up with this consultant for a little while now, and he is a very busy man. And the great thing about busy people is that they get things done. So we've got an executive consultant on the show today, and he has been at Power Trip. He actually has been the master of ceremonies. He's a Pure Energy Award winner. He's part of the Comma Club, which for those of you that might not necessarily be in Ambit just yet, that means that he has over $1,000 a month in residual that comes in month after month after month. And so it's a very exciting to have folks that are getting it done here on the show. And today we've got, again, executive consultant Chuck Chance. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Oh, wow, Doug. Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to actually be a part of the show. Thank you for the invite.
Well, you are so welcome, and thanks for all you do with Ambit. I know I see you around. I hear you on all these calls and doing different things and investing in other people. And I know you're a very, very busy man, and it's hard to carve out time to do this, but we're doing it for Ambit Nation at large, and so that everyone can tune in and get better at what they do. And so without further ado, let's jump in real quick. Let's talk a little bit about when you decided to become part of Ambit. I think it was maybe about 8 years or so ago, but what was like kind of like before Ambit?
Well, Doug, life for me before Ambit, pre-Ambit, that is, was really kind of centered around corporate America. I had gone to school, tried to live the corporate or the American dream by going to school, graduating college, and then working at a great company, looking to actually retire. And unfortunately, that roadmap wasn't really great for me. In fact, I started working as an intern for a little small company called Pepsi Cola, and right out of Carrollton, Texas, in fact. And as I worked for that company, I just realized in the week that I had enough, I worked 80 hours and I was salaried. Mm. And I finally realized I was working too many hours for too less pay. And I figured there had to be another way, Doug. And so what I did is I really decided that I wanted to pursue something else, and really kind of got the entrepreneurial bug, not quite sure what I really wanted to do in terms of an entrepreneurship, but I know that I really wanted to be able to own my own. Well, through that, got married and ended up, as the economy really took a dive, the savings and loan industry had really come to a demise in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so my wife and I, we actually moved to Houston, and I began to work in Houston. And as I did, worked for a couple of other companies, but then decided to go into real estate. And when I went into real estate, I loved it. Had a lot of success with real estate, but the one thing about real estate is that I found that it was very cyclical. When the highs were really high, they were really high, but when the lows were really low, they were really, really low. So I figured, Doug, I better do something else. And so I jumped right out of the frying pan into the fryer and decided to go into the mortgage industry. And when I went into the mortgage industry, worked in the mortgage and real estate industry for 15 years, but I thought I had finally found my niche in the mortgage industry because I was highly specialized. I lived in a community that allowed me to do mortgages outside of Texas. And I lived here in Houston, but I was doing mortgages for California real estate. And so, you know, Doug, if you really take a property out of Texas here, $60,000 property, put it over the California state line, presto, it would become $225,000. And so I was doing the mortgages for those particular properties. And as I was doing mortgages for those properties, I just thought I was going to make a living because no one really, not a lot of people were really doing what I was doing. It's very highly specialized. But something happened, Doug. Here's the thing that happened. See, I didn't work for a bad boss. I didn't work for people I didn't like. I didn't work from eight to faint. I simply became a victim of the economy. And when the economy happened, the one thing is that the economy has a way of dragging a lot of people down with it. And in that particular week, my boss called me and said, Chuck, listen, bring your computer in because we are filing bankruptcy. And in that particular week, there were eight mortgage companies nationwide that also filed bankruptcy as well. And I did not, Doug, by any means, want to go back and pay my dues in corporate America. I didn't want to start that all over again. I did not want to try to, because I was so highly specialized in the mortgage industry, go chase a bunch of realtors and to try to find mortgages. I just didn't want to do that because I had always kept in my mind, in the back of my mind, how could I create a residual income? And the problem with being in the mortgage industry and the real estate industry is that every time I had a closing, I got fired, meaning that I had to start all over again. And there were so many people, so many touches in the real estate industry just to make a deal actually come to fruition. And I just, it just took one person to tip the scales and a deal could actually be over with. And so I said, I wanted to find something that I could really sustain my income and really make a means of or the kind of income that I was really kind of looking for where I can control my time. And I had a guy at a very dark moment of my life, actually, because after that mortgage company went off, I lost money on an investment, and I lost a lot of money on that investment, and I really didn't know what to do. And in fact, Doug, I actually, the irony of it is that the guy who was creating mortgages was about to lose his mortgage. And this guy called me out of nowhere that I know that I had done business with prior and some years before. And he asked me, Chuck, really, the dumbest question, Doug, I thought was really, the dumbest question I thought was actually on the face of this earth. In my despair, he asked me, Chuck, how many people do you know use electricity? I said, wait a minute now, I'm about to lose my house. I have no sources of income that's coming in other than what my wife was actually producing. And I'm not feeling too manly about myself at this particular moment. And you ask me about how many people do you know use electricity? Well, here's the thing, Doug. As I begin to think about that, I thought about a time when I was selling real estate where I was looking at a property that was about to go into foreclosure. And I wanted to try to help save that property. And I had an investor in the car with me, walked up to the property, knocked on the door. But lo and behold, no one showed up. But I looked in the window. And when I looked in the window, Doug, I noticed that the lights were on. And I had an epiphany moment right at that moment. Wait a minute. These folks could not continue to maintain their mortgage. They're going into foreclosure in three more days, but they had enough sense to pay their electricity bill. And I said, wait a minute. That's my epiphany moment. And so because of that, it has profoundly changed my life. That's what business was like for me. That's why I joined this business. And because of that, life has changed dramatically for myself and for my family. And I have now two kids that are in college at major universities, private universities. My son is at Baylor University. My daughter is at SMU. Because of this opportunity, my kids will never have to experience what student loans are about. They'll never have any debt upon graduating college because of this AMBIT opportunity. My wife is now, we're counting down, she's probably got about 60 days left on her job, and we're going to tell her boss that she has the proverbial eye problem. I don't see me working for you anymore. And then here's the other thing too, Doug, is that also because of this AMBIT opportunity, that house that was going into foreclosure some time ago, last year, I was actually able to pay that house off in 7 years because of this AMBIT opportunity. And so that's what AMBIT was before pre-AMBIT, and really the difference that it's actually made for me right now.
You know, that's significant. We're not talking about something small, and it's funny that you bring that up, because I've had a little bit of business success, and you know, as I've talked about a couple of times, I'm a senior consultant, not for long, and I'm working to get that executive level like you, and
I don't expect you to be there long, Doug.
I'm telling you, brother, I am working on it, but having a paid-for house, that's one of the things in one of my other businesses. I was able to pay off a house, interesting enough, in 7 years as well. And still the same house that I live in today. And there's not many people that get to do that. But this opportunity, this AMBIT opportunity, had allowed you to really be on both ends of the spectrum of that, to literally be in a situation where that house was potentially going to get taken away and your family was going to be such inconvenienced, and the embarrassment and the things that come along with that. But the flip side is a little hard work, consistent, persistent over a little bit of time, and you look up seven years later, and that house is paid for now, paid off thanks to this great opportunity. So that's just one of those things, guys. If you pause, rewind, and listen to that, it's serious what we're talking about here. This is the kind of opportunity that can help you potentially, with a little bit of hard work, pay off your house, okay? How many people can say that? So that's before and after, and that ain't no joke. So great information there. Now, let's talk about your why. I mean, I know you said that you talked about the kiddos and you were kind of in dire straits, but the question is, as you fast forward now, has your why changed? Have you modified it? How do you articulate that today, now that you've got a paid-for house, now that both your kids are off to college and you know, they're not having to take on debt to do that?
Well, it has changed. And initially, my why was to really be able to allow my children to go to the schools, the colleges that they wanted to eventually be able to get my wife out of working for her employer. And that has not changed. However, now at this phase of life with two kids in college, at the colleges that they chose, now I'm trying to make sure that we alleviate the debt that they're going to have to incur. And now, even greater, I had to match my wife's income very significantly, because she's a project manager for an oil and gas pipeline company. And it took a little work to be able to get that done, but we see now the light at the end of the tunnel, and it is becoming extremely bright. And so that why now is kind of changing, where now I get the opportunity, because the residual income that is actually being created by the hard work and so many other people who have participated with the same dream of financial freedom that I have, that happens to be on my team. I think that the thing now is that now the why is become, how can I help more people? How can I serve more people? John Maxwell said something that I'll just never forget. And he said, listen, if you want to be the greatest leader, you got to be the greatest servant. And Doug, you'll hear a little glimpse of this, but I am a Christian. I don't hesitate on commenting on that. That's my faith, and that's a great foundation for where I am. But that is nothing but what Christ said clearly, that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And really, if you want to be the greatest servant, you are the greatest leader. You got to be the greatest servant. And so I'm looking to help people with a different attitude, with a different why. And I'm looking at creating 100,000 heirs now in this particular industry simply by working and talking to more people about how can I help? What can we do? What is it we can help you come to the reality of realizing that the plan that you were on just wasn't necessarily working the way you wanted it to work, but now you've got a plan B, and you can exercise that plan B to where your plan B becomes your plan A. If you don't like your plan A or plan B doesn't work out, you still got your plan A, okay? But the great thing about it is that now we have options. And that's what I love about what this business does, is that we're creating options for individuals now that they can live the kind of lifestyle with not being sewn into to the jobs and the businesses that they've come to know and thinking that is the only way that they can actually make it out. No, there are just other ways. And so I'm glad that we can provide the insight and the excitement of what these options through Ambit Energy actually provide.
So let's talk about that for just a moment. So you bump into someone, and you know, I've met you a couple times. You're very well spoken. You're a sharp guy. You're a sharp dresser. You speak well. And they say, man, what is it you do? Give me maybe the 10-15 second kind of pitch that you know you say to folks and how you kind of introduce them to this opportunity.
Well, I always say something that's kind of quirky. You know, a lot of people always ask me, what do you do? And I go, well, I help people fire their own boss. I help people fire their boss. And they go, what? Fire your boss? What does that mean? And it allows me to really kind of give a 15-minute elevator speech, and it's a great way to kind of dive in. And I asked people, listen, you know what? I said I was able to actually obtain my freedom by firing my boss, and I did that in about 6 years. And I help people show them how they can actually do the same thing if you're interested. And I said the thing about it is, do you keep your options open for other ways to make an additional income? And if you do, I'd love to be able to talk to you a little bit further. And it's a no-pressure kind of perspective, but it's just, I love something that Chris Chandler says, it's like my 20 seconds of fame. You know, here's the 20 seconds of actually taking over fear and saying, hey, you know what, I'm gonna talk to this person. I'm gonna strike up a conversation, because you just don't know who's looking for you. One of the most gratifying things that I think I've come across, Doug, is when I've talked to prospects who said, man, you don't know, my wife and I were praying about this. This is exactly what we've been looking for. We were looking for you. That is the most gratifying opportunity to know that someone was actually praying about something and you provided an answer for them. And so, so really, again, it is just simply my question. I keep it really simple. I don't have to go into a great deal of detail, and I try not to. As Lane wins it, and I'll give him credit for what I should take it away from him. But I've heard it. I've said it so many times. But I don't spill my popcorn in the lobby before I see the movie. So I try to say as little as I possibly can, and allow them to see the movie, and then what we can do is we can begin to talk a lot further and in depth about this opportunity and how it can actually change their lives.
Very good, very good. Now, let me ask you, what is one of the personal habits that you would say has most contributed to your success?
And it's a little different for a lot of people. Sometimes I realize that. But for me, Doug, I would have to say it's just persistency. You just got to be persistent in this business. And for me, I think that's the one quality that I think that I lacked, is being very persistent. Because oftentimes what we're looking for is we're looking for automatic results, and it just doesn't happen that way. And so I think I've had to come to a, I had to come to a realization that I was building something. And as I began to build that something, that if I stay persistent enough with it, then the persistency or the fruit of what I actually was able to stay with, I think actually ends up coming to my favor. And then I see the fruition of that. And so I think keeping that goal in front of me and saying, okay, this is what I've got to do, this is what I've got to do to accomplish it, and never getting rid of it, and keeping it before me. And I kind of equate that to, there was a great training that I was able to do within up in Baltimore with Shelley and Julius Weems, and Tim and Kim Clark, Ron and Kim Clark, excuse me, the Clarks and the Procopios as well, and Tony and Diana Procopio. And so I was able to kind of do a training with them. One of the things that I said, I told a story about a woman named Florence Chadwick. And if a lot of people may not know, but Florence Chadwick was a woman who actually, the first one, American-born woman, who swam the English Channel forwards and backwards. First one to do it in the 50s. And she had this great, great desire to really swim from the Catalina Islands to Los Angeles. And so, or to San Francisco, excuse me. And so here's the thing about it, is on this particular day, she got nationwide coverage. Florence Chadwick got into the waters in that month of July, back in, I think, in 1954. And here's the thing, is that the waters were choppy. The currents were really tumultuous. Her mother was in a boat next to her, and she was determined to swim from the Catalina Islands all the way to the coast. And so here's the thing, is that that day, however, it was extremely foggy. Extremely foggy. And so her mother's in a boat next to her as she's swimming, and she's constantly trying to encourage her. Come on, come on, Florence, you can make this, you can do this, you can do this, Florence. And she struggled through the waves, and she's struggling. She says, "But I can't see, I can't see." She says, "Don't worry, you're going to get there. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming." And she kept swimming and kept persevering through it all until finally Florence gave up. She said, "I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't go any further. I can't go any further." And so after she got out of the water, they asked Florence, "Why did you quit? Why did you just finally give up?" She says, "It was the fog. I couldn't see where I was going. I just couldn't see it." Well, little did she know, one, that Florence was only half a mile from the coast of her destination. But she gave up too quick. And if she didn't see it, because she couldn't see it, she gave up too quickly. And so oftentimes through the persistency of it is that sometimes we can't see it. We got to be able to see it, but sometimes we can't see it. And if we can't see it, if we just keep persisting, if we keep pushing through, if we keep challenging ourselves, then the results of what we will accomplish can be absolutely phenomenal. But many of us may quit just a little too early from where our destination may actually take us.
You know, that's a good word right there. And guys, you know, when it comes to encouragement, sometimes people don't have the vision, and it's another biblical kind of antidote here, but without vision, a people will perish. And so whether it's in ambient energy, whether it's in the world, I mean, it all applies the same way, mm-hmm. but you got to have that vision.
Absolutely.
And so for the leaders listening to the call, that's why they're leaders, is because they're out front leading. The one thing that's consistent about all leaders is that they have followers, okay? And they're following mm-hmm. for a reason, because you're leading and you're giving them, expanding that vision and seeing further than they can see for them. But if you're new in this business and you don't quite have that yet, guys, you know, it's very important that you encourage your new folks coming in. I heard Brian McClure, our number one income earner, the other day talk about we have a responsibility to new people that we sponsor and bring into this business. We got to be there for them. We got to help them expand their vision and see it for them when they can't see it themselves.
That's
right. So stay in touch and make sure and reach out and help them get across that finish line. And if it's something where there's only a half a mile left, and I don't know how long that distance was from the Catalina Islands to the coast, but it sounds like it's a pretty long ways, and a half a mile doesn't seem like that far in comparison. If she could have only seen it, there's no telling you know what would have happened there.
Yeah.
So that's great stuff. And I'll tell you what, this I'm getting excited already right now. I mean, it motivates me just talking to people. That's part of the reason why I'm doing this is because I get fed on this as well. So let's jump into just kind of the nuts and bolts of the business for just a minute. So you've got someone and maybe you've gone through your hot market, or maybe, you know, every once in a while there's a consultant that jumps in and just says, hey, look, you know, I don't have a whole lot of family or a whole lot of friends in this area or whatever the case is. And they kind of got to go cold market. Can you talk a little bit about that experience you have with cold market and how you process, you know, through that part?
Well, you know, I understand there's a cold market, but believe me, there's a great way of warming up a cold market. And I think a lot of people really, really kind of miss this. The mind is a very incredible piece that allows you to accomplish things that you never would begin to imagine that you accomplish. And so I say that to say this, Doug, is that when we say, I can't, automatically, and some of the most prolific prognosticators would be able to tell you that understand the human mind and the human spirit as well. The minute that you say, I can't, then you shut down the creative energy or the ability to actually flow. And so I say that to say that when we say we can't, then you really limit yourself. But here's the thing, is that when it comes to a cold market, in this particular business, I believe that being able to warm up a cold market, and I do it this way. I think that there are some significant things that people don't do. And I know inherently they have not done it before, because you're now becoming the CEO. You're now the CEO of a multi-million dollar company for yourself. But here's the thing, is that when we begin to look at where are people, when we ask that, where are people? Now, I'm not talking about going up in the mall and actually talking to somebody, and some people can do that, but I know that's not the majority of our listeners. But what I can say is there are people in organizations. There are some great organizations, some great meetup groups that actually take place. There are some great social events around the city that take place. And if you really want to begin to talk to people, you got to be where people are. And so if you're in a cold market, a great way to be able to warm up that market is through social organizations, professional organizations. Get out, because your inventory is people. And if you're not talking to people, even if it is a cold market, listen, then you're losing the opportunity to continue to build your business. And so what we do is, what I've suggested is, look for some of the organizations that are in your city, in your community, that you can now begin to take part in. Now, some of them cost. Some of them are absolutely free. But if you do the research of finding out where these folks are, then I think what you can do is you can develop a whole nother list from your cold market. Because in that sense, when you're in the organization or there for the same common purpose that they may be, it gives you the ability to have a little conversation. And you don't know who again is looking for you. And so through those circumstances, through those situations, what I found is that when I've run out of my list, my cold, and I, first of all, I really don't believe you can ever run out of a list. Doug, I got to repeat that. I really don't believe you can ever run out of a list, because if you get a consultant who has gone through a list, they say they've gone through a list, they're going through a list, and there's always someone on that list that can lead you to someone else. And I think the one thing that is a missing gem for us is that we don't ask for referrals. We don't always ask who else do you know that might be interested in an opportunity like this, and then follow up with it, because fortune is in the follow up. But when we speak specifically about a cold market, I just believe there's some other ways that you can kind of get over the cold market, and you've got to kind of get out and begin to meet people where they are. And so that doesn't require you to spend a whole lot of money. That just simply requires for you just to show up. And what better way to be able to talk to those folks and then find out, hey, maybe there's someone you might be able to talk to, because here's the one reality, Doug, is that really, as people, all we are is connectors. This business is nothing but about connecting. And so you talk to someone at one of those organizations or one of those particular events, and it's just one person. All it takes is just one person that can change your whole life. And they could connect you to the success that you so richly deserve and are actually looking for. So that's my antidote for the cold market. Okay.
No, that makes perfect sense. And one little nugget real quick, because you mentioned it. I want to make sure that nobody missed this. You said the fortune is in the follow-up. And, you know, we talk a lot of times that we're not selling anything. You don't have to be a salesperson to be in this business. And I believe that is absolutely true. However, yes. When someone gets yes. into this business and they don't have a sales background, there are some fundamentals mm-hmm. that they may not just yes. know. It doesn't come naturally to them. And that fortune in the follow-up, there are so many yeah. people that they ask for the business one time, and people are busy, mm-hmm. and they go, oh, you know, hey, not right now, or hey, I can't talk. And then the person gets their feelings hurt, and they never call them again. And right. there's some statistical data that talks about that something like only 10% of the people say yes to something on the first time you ask for it. The more times you ask for it, the higher the percentage goes. And it gets up to something like 70 or 80% of the sales occur after the business has been asked for, sometimes between like 6 and 8 times. So that fortune and a follow-up, man, that is a absolute golden nugget. Stay in touch. You got to be relevant. You know, you can't just call them up mm-hmm. over and over again and say, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because that'll get them to quit answering your phone calls. But you got to have something.
Well, let's stop answering your phone call for far less than that sometimes. But you're absolutely right. You do. I mean, you've got to keep it relevant. And one of the things that I certainly heard Debbie Atkinson, national consultant, say is she said, you know, I would call people up and I would tell them, hey, you know what, I'm having some great success. You know what, you need to give me a call back. I think you'd be wonderful for this. And oftentimes she didn't want to talk to them. She just wanted to leave a voicemail for them. If she couldn't get in touch with them, she just wanted to leave a voicemail for them. And she would be chipper. She would be, her attitude would be absolutely on point, and she'd be excited. And she wanted to leave them the feeling that they were missing out on something. And so I think it was one of the greatest, one of the little nuggets that Debbie Atkinson kind of dropped off, particularly from people who don't call you back. But you're absolutely right, is that follow-up is paramount, and it's got to be relevant. Just got to be relevant.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Well, it's hard to believe we are already about halfway through this interview, so I got a couple more questions I got to ask you. Let's jump in and see here. When it comes to advice, and this is not necessarily specific to Ambit, however, it absolutely can be, but what's the best advice that you have ever received?
Wow. Oh, wow. I would, that's a great question. That's a great question. Let me say this, Doug. I think the thing that sticks out of my mind is what I remember national consultant Steve Thompson saying to me. And I can't say that it is the best thing that I've ever heard, but it's one of the best things I've ever heard. And it is really Ambit related. Steve Thompson said, let's preface this with what's going on with Steve Thompson. And for many of you who may have heard Steve Thompson's story, he'll tell you very clearly that his siblings are not in the business of Ambit Energy. And I don't know if they're his customers or not, but they ridicule. Now, here it is. This guy has made over, I think, about well over $15 million, I believe. And here it is. His folks, his immediate siblings, the people that love him most, don't believe that what he's doing is the avenue for financial freedom. And so they ridicule him in a sense. And so he's got, if you know any of the toys, Steve's the toy guy. He'll carry toys. He'll have from planes to buses and the cars and a number of other things. But Steve said this, even with everybody else in his family that does not look at this business, has not looked at this business, Steve said this. He said, the greatest thing that will help you build your business is when you stop taking the business personal. When you stop taking no's personal. When you understand it's just business, and people are going to have their attitudes, and they're going to have their ideas, and they're going to be who they are. But when you stop taking it personal, then you'll take off in this business. When you're not worried about what other people have to say, you're not worried about what other people think, you're not worried about what, because you have your financial dream, your financial desire, you have the goal that you really, your why, which is going to make you cry, and it's not theirs, it's yours. But when you stop worrying about what they have to say and the no's that come along with it, you'll be a tremendous success in this business. And that I identified with that. That was just right on point for me, because really so many times, and particularly for the individuals that we're looking for, Doug, who are really business builders, oftentimes we cloud ourselves with their judgment about the business before we even present the opportunity. We call it a chicken list. We call it people that, you know, that are they're folks that we just really just don't believe would ever even look at the opportunity. So we never present it to them because we're too concerned about what they're going to think or what they're going to say. And I just realized that potent pill to success, when you get over what everybody else is thinking and what they have to say, and it's just business, you just move to the next person. That type of attitude really is what's going to personify and allow you to really just look for the numbers, to look for the numbers, because it's not, you just understand, it's just a part of the business, it's the way it is. And so I think that was the greatest thing that was ever dropped into my spirit and to my knowledge by Steve Thompson when he said, listen, when you don't have to worry about the no's, when you can get over the no's and no's don't mean anything to you and you just build because it's just business. That was the greatest thing I think I've ever been taught.
You know, that's great nuggets. And here's something cool. So I've heard you talk about Debbie Atkinson, Steve Thompson, Lane Winslet. So you're dropping a bunch of nuggets of these national consultants. So I know that you're paying attention. All right. I know that you're getting some mentoring. So let's kind of transition into, you know, do you have that as like part of a checklist? Like, hey, I want to get a certain amount of mentoring every year, or is it just because of the people you're surrounding yourself by? You know, what does that look like for you when you're talking about how do I get mentored, and what are you doing to get that mentoring?
Well, one is you've got to be intentional about it. I love one of the I told you I'm a big John Maxwell fan, and one of the greatest books that I think I've seen is I think the 15 Invaluable Laws of Personal Development, and I hope I didn't torch the title, but one is that he says that you got to be intentional about what you want out of this business. Intentional even about the people that you want to hang around with. And if I one of the things from Brian McClure that he says, and I can recall some years ago when he was here in Houston, Brian said, hey, got a question for you all, in his lurchy kind of sound that only Brian can do. But Brian says, hey, I want to know you. How many of you want to be millionaires? And almost everybody in the room stuck their hand up in the air. Brian says, well, I just want to know one other thing. How many of you know millionaires? Well, only a few select people raised their hand. And Brian said this, well, maybe you better find you some new friends. And so I said, wow, what a punch in the gut. And that was so true, because how were we going to learn how to become millionaires if we were never in the presence of millionaires? See, we take the opinion of a lot of people and we make their opinions our lifestyle. And it's the most horrific thing that we could basically do. And so what I wanted to do is, when I wanted to learn how to be a leader, I wanted to hang around people who personified leadership. I wanted to hang around, be in the presence of those individuals that I could just sit and just learn, just talk and just and absorb information. And so I had to be intentional about that, though. And so a lot of times, you know, we fail to realize that there's something that significantly happens after almost every good BP, business presentation, is the meeting after the meeting. It's the meeting after the meeting where I gained a whole lot of knowledge, where I gained a whole lot of insight about who I was and what I needed to do about my business. So I had to be at the BPs, I had to be at the trainings in order to gain that information. It wasn't the training that was great, but it wasn't so that it was so outstanding. It was the personal time that you got to spend with some of those leaders when you called them up, or you pulled on their shirt tail, or you pulled on their coattail, and you say, hey, I just want to ask you a question. Can I have 5 or 10 minutes or 30 minutes of your time? And so you have to be intentional about that. And I was intentional about that. I now am somewhat accountable to Brian McClure. I've gone to a number of his trainings. I've spent some personal time with him. And believe me, he has poured into my life. When I think about leadership, he kind of personifies in this business what type of leader I really would like to be. And there are some tremendous leaders out there. Please don't get me wrong. Them way those who are tremendous leaders. Of course, Chris and Debbie Atkinson, which are tremendous leaders. One of my favorite speakers, or I'll say my favorite speaker really is Ray Monty, who I know was just one of your guests on a couple of weeks ago. And Ray Monty is my favorite speaker, and I love how he communicates. And I'll have to replay this to him, because I always tell him that. But when it comes to leadership, when I think about who I identify with, I love the model that Brian McClure possesses. It is one that I really acquiesce to, and he's tend to be one who really doesn't care a whole lot about what team you happen to be on. But if you're willing to participate, if you're willing to take, hey, he'll work with you. And I appreciate that about him. I really do. I respect that greatly about that type of attitude and that Ambit Nation type of mentality, which really, Doug, in a sense, through this call, is what you're possessing, is what you're exemplifying. And so thank you very much for what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for those kind words, and you know, even being in a conversation with you and Ray Monty, man, that's a whole another level. Maybe one day I'll step up to that in Ambit Energy, but man, I'm working to do what we do here and create an environment where others can learn from this. And guys, you know, one of the things that was just now mentioned, you know, by Chuck was the fact of the BPs and going to the meeting after the meeting, and know this. If you're going to these meetings and, you know, you may say, oh, I've seen this before. A lot of times we'll have consultants that that'll be the case. After they've been to one or two or three meetings, they're like, oh, I've been there before. I've seen this. And repetition is the mother of learning, for one thing. Number two, if you've been there and you feel like you've been there enough that you know it, then jump on up and speak. You know, do your why or do the company and get engaged and show other people, you know, a little different spin on how you do it. And then number three, which is the most important part, and we've heard this multiple times over the past few weeks, is the meetings after the meetings, those dinners, getting to have those informal conversations and really getting real, where it's not necessarily recorded or out live in front of everybody, but where you can really ask questions that are on your mind. And so those are great nuggets. And I think that book, because I looked it up when you were just now mentioning it, is the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John C. Maxwell.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And okay. And so, guys, we've at Ambitious Radio, we've got a special deal for any of our listeners with Audible. So if you haven't done it already, you can go to ambitiousradio.com and click on the link, and you can get one free book. And that book is an audio book as well. So you can get it in audio if you like to listen to books like I do instead of reading them. You can get those nuggets that Chuck was just talking about there as well. So, Chuck, we're nearing the end of the interview here. And, man, again, I so much
already?
Appreciate you.
Already?
Man, it's crazy, man. We're already there, man. We could talk for probably hours. We may have to do a part two or something.
Yeah, we probably could.
Yes, sir.
We probably could.
So let's just talk about just, you know, from a just kind of winding it down. You know, sure. I know you're an intense guy. You're hard charging. You've experienced some tough times. You got some good things going on right now. So what do you do to recharge, man? When you've been hitting it hard, do you like to go on vacation? Is there anything that you do to kind of unwind? What does that look like for you?
Yes. There are a couple of things I like to do. One is I love spending time with my family. I love, spending some vacation time where we can kind of get away. I love Orlando, despite the tragedies that kind of happened to that city. But I love that area. It's really nice, and really enjoy that time. And so anytime with them, I can get a laugh, and my kids keep me very pretty level headed. That's a great mechanism to be with them, because they're no respecter of person. So I can appreciate they have a way of kind of bringing me down. And I really enjoy that time with them. The other thing too, Doug, is that I periodically go on mission trips. And I mentioned to you that I am a Christian, and one of the greatest things is to be able to give to people in a manner that don't have what we have and that we take for granted for what we have. And that's a great way of really recharging me and keeping me leveled. In this business, it's so easy to get the accolades, and it's so easy to receive, you're the greatest thing, and you're this, and you're that, and sometimes there's a time where I know there are some leaders, and I've seen it unfortunately, who have bought their own press, and they believe in it, and then they think they're the best thing since sliced bread, and I've seen that stench of pride take place. And I do call it the stench. I call pride being, it's kind of like bad breath. You know, everyone else can smell it, but you can't. And so to keep myself really grounded and leveled is that I'll try to spend some time for people who are a lot less fortunate than I am. And it keeps me kind of connected to why I do what I do, and not forgetting that the things that I have, really, I'm really truly blessed with. I don't have to have what I have, but I'm grateful for God's grace and His mercy through what I've received. And so that's a significant way, is really just kind of giving my time to others who are far, far less fortunate than I am. That's a great mechanism to keep me grounded.
Man, I love that. That's strong.
Yeah. Well, it's very true. It's very true. It recharges me. It does recharge me, in a sense, because I understand now even greater that people are just people. What's the great thing about our business? People. What's the worst thing about our business? People. So, but you just got to understand who they are and where they are, and keep short accounts. So those are the things that I really kind of enjoy. I'm a gangster. I love to play golf and love the challenging aspect of sports. I'm looking forward to just coming up and our participation as a nation in the Olympics in Rio, and so very excited about that. And so I'm a great a fan of sports, and those things are great to really unwind. I'm an advocate, a big advocate of, a lot of people may not know, but I'm a big advocate of jazz. And I love jazz, and one day even hope that Amber will actually help me open up a business for a jazz club. And so those are just dreams and aspirations, but those things really kind of keep me refreshed and moving through this business and through the arduous times, through the most difficult time, and just keeping and making sure that I can kind of steal away at times to really kind of reconnect with where I'm going in this business and what I'm needing to accomplish. And I got to give a statement that the truth, and the other thing is that it's keeping my relationship with Christ as the focal point, and that first and foremost is the very thing that really keeps me focused and keep me centered and give me the energy sometimes that the other distractions of life won't actually provide for me.
Man, that is great information, and that's what we want to know, is keeping it real. I mean, what do people really do? How you know, when you run into hard times, whenever something's not going your way, how do you get back, you know, focused and dialed in? So that's great information. Well, this is the last question that I'm going to ask you, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Okay.
If you could go back at any point in your life and give yourself one little nugget or one piece of advice, what would you tell yourself? And at what time in your life was that? What were you doing at that time in your life?
What a great question. Repeat it once more for me, Doug.
Sure. So if at any point in your life you could go back and just give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? And at what time in your life was that? What were you doing at that time in life?
Now, I don't know if this would personify on this day. Here's the answer. On this day, it may be different on another day, but on this day, when you asked that question, the very first thing that came to my mind is I was about 24, 25 years old. Really looking to have a life change. I just kind of left Pepsi, and one of the things before I got ready to move to Houston, I had a great guy, in fact, he was a former Dallas Cowboy, and he offered me an opportunity to be a salesperson with him. And I really didn't think that I could do it. I just didn't think I could really own up to it. I didn't think I could accomplish it because I kept looking at what he had and what I didn't have. The type of circles that he had that I didn't exist in. The kind of people that were just kind of in his circle that I didn't have in my circle. But what I failed to realize through that process is that everyone has a genesis. Everyone has a beginning. And I think the one nugget that I wish that I could have known then, which could have made a tremendous transformation, of course, what I know now, is that after it's all said and done, people are just people. They're just people. And what I fail to realize is that even in his state of where he was and the circle of friends that he had, is that he had to have a beginning as well. And oftentimes, what we do in this business, we see these ECs and we see these NCs, and we think automatically they just arrived. And they didn't. They all had a genesis just like we did. We had a path. They had a path just like we have to journey as well. And the fact is that they're no different than what we are. And so I when I think about that moment, I think about, yes, maybe I didn't have the experience, but everyone, there had a beginning to be a beginning point for everyone. There has to be that beginning point. And so just because you lack or I lacked the experience at that time didn't mean that I still couldn't accomplish it. It just means that I didn't have the experience and that I need to be able to gain that. And so through anything that I know that we do in this life, one thing that we can always expect that's going to occur is you're going to have to pay your dues. You're going to have to pay your dues. And so I think if I had just realized that he was just another guy who was really looking at making a difference in his life and that he could accomplish anything and that I was just as capable of accomplishing what he accomplished, maybe not at that stage at 24, but if I just realized that he was just another guy just really just going after it and that he was just an everyday person, put his pants on the same way I put my pants on, had the same kind of issues maybe that I had. Maybe he was at a different kind of stage of life because he was much older, but that they weren't any different. And so it just kind of took away the mystique of how we place people up on pedestals when they're just people. And I tell you what, that's why I love our CEO, because he's just a guy, he's just a person, and he has never come across, even as magnanimous as he is, he's always come across as just a genuine kind of person. Chris Chambers the same way, you know. And so I love that. And so that's the one thing, I guess, that I learned that if I were to say that could have transformed my life at that particular time was just knowing that is that people are just people and everyone has a beginning. And so when will you, our listeners particularly, when will you start your beginning?
Well, I can't think of a better way to wrap this one up, man. That was fantastic.
All right. Well, I tend to go into story mode, but you know, I'm very passionate about what I say.
I appreciate you. Here's what's crazy, man. We're taking off at about almost 1 hour now, and it seems like it's been 10 minutes. I mean, for me, I literally have 2.5 pages full of notes, and I appreciate the investment you've made in me. You know, and that's the cool thing about our business with Ambit. Man, you're not in my pay line. I'm not in yours. I mean, you're just doing this because it's the right thing to do. And I appreciate you carving out time, an hour out of your busy schedule, an executive consultant that is just making it happen to spend with me and, of course, Ambit Nation here through the syndication of this program. So, Chuck, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And, man, get out there and make it happen, man. Keep on being ambitious and appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, Doug, I would be remiss again if I just didn't mention thank you for what you're contributing to the Ambit Nation, because, see, you don't have to do this. And you've taken the time out because you've had a skill and you've had experience doing what you're doing in the broadcast industry, but you're taking it and you're making it available to Ambit Nation. And so you're making a sacrifice, too, because you don't have to do this. But you do it because, listen, because you care, and you do it because you're able to. And so you know that ultimately there's going to be a lot of people that will benefit. It's not about, this has not been about you. This has been about the guests that you've had on. But for you to do the hard work behind the scenes, all that it takes, and I know some of it can be taken for granted because it's second nature for you, but it still works because it takes you from building your business. But you're doing it, and you're delivering this to Ambit Nation. You're not asking for a dime. You're not asking for anything. You do it out of the goodness of your heart, and it's people like you that make this company a great company. So thank you, Doug.
Man, you are so welcome. Appreciate you, Ambit Nation. Dial in, tune in, check out all the great interviews we've just had, the fantastic, the magnificent Chuck Chance, executive consultant. You will see him at many events as the master of ceremonies because he conducts everything and keeps everybody flowing. Thanks for what you do, sir. Guys, go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.